Blog Talk Radio.
Embrace Today is brought to you by Whole House Ministries. Host Apri Curry will inspire listeners to embrace their today with hope and expectation, with a focus of bringing about freedom, healing, and restoration through the Word of God. John 16:33 says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world."
Good morning and welcome to Embrace Today. I am your host, Apri Curry, and this morning we are going to continue speaking on the topic of you have a choice to make and dealing with unforgiveness. This morning we'll be coming from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32. And before I get into that, I just would like to take this time to thank everyone that listens to the show live, that listens to the archives. The stats have been phenomenal. I am amazed at the amount of people that the word is getting out to, and just the fact that you have taken time out of your day to support the ministry that the Lord has given me. So I would just like to first off thank everyone for their support and their continued prayers. I just pray that you ask that you continue to pray for me as I continue to move forward in all the things that the Lord has for me. So again, this morning we'll be coming from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32. And I'm really excited about this morning's show because as I have been preparing and just sitting and listening to the Lord and as he's been leading me, and it's just so great to know that people are actually allowing this forgiveness to meditate in their heart. They're really embracing forgiveness and what it truly means to forgive others. And so to me, that's helping me to understand that there is hope. What I'm doing, what the Lord has called for me to do, it has purpose and people are really being set free. So it blesses me to know that other people are being blessed by the word of God. And that our hearts, and not just your hearts, but my heart also, is being changed and we're drawing closer to what it means to forgive other people and the consequences of what happens to us when we hold unforgiveness in our hearts. So it's really blessed me and I'm so excited that we are embracing the Word of God as a whole. Oftentimes people think that because someone is giving the word that the word is not for them, but the word is for us also. As I'm preparing the word, I prepared a few months back, and as I was preparing the word, the Lord was preparing me for something that was going to take place in my life that I didn't know. And so when it took place, these steps and this process helped me to understand what the Lord was trying to say to me and what I needed to speak to other people. So it blesses me to know that others are being set free and allowing that bondage of unforgiveness to be released from their lives. So verse 29 in Ephesians chapter 4, it reads, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." So again, we're going to continue talking about the choice that we have to make to forgive other people when they have done us wrong or done someone else wrong. And it's very important that we understand what forgiveness means. And when we understand forgiveness and how Christ forgave us, then it's a little easier for us to forgive other people when they do something wrong against us. And even though we may go through the feelings of hurt and pain, we must understand that there's a process that we have to go through, and forgiveness is in that process when we are living our lives trying to be like Christ. And so verse 49 again says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So one of the choices that we have to make when we are dealing with unforgiveness is we have to know that we need to speak to build. Oftentimes when we are dealing with someone that has wronged us or wronged someone else, the words that we are saying is making our situation worse. When we speak the words that are coming out of our mouths, the words that are coming out of our mouths is really what's in our heart. And so if we have unforgiveness that's in our heart, then we're not going to be able to speak to build. The words that we come out of our that come out of our mouths are going to be words that's going to try to tear the other person down. We have to speak. We have to know that our words, the words that come out of our mouth, the things that we speak, whether we're speaking to someone or to ourselves, our words can bring life or death to a situation. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk, so anything that is unhealthy, anything that is discouraging, anything that will not encourage a person, we should not let that come out of our mouth. Words bring life. And we have to know that when we speak, we have to speak to encourage, to build up the situation, to help the situation out, to strengthen the situation, to strengthen the other person, to strengthen ourselves. And a lot of times when someone has wronged us, we are speaking those discouraging words to ourselves, making the situation worse. We have to remember that we need to encourage ourselves also and not discourage ourselves. Oftentimes when someone has done us wrong, we are replaying and replaying it in our minds, and we're sitting there like, I cannot believe they done that to us. And we're sitting there and we are repeating and repeating and it's replaying, and then we call somebody and we tell somebody what they did, and we're continually telling the story in a negative manner. And when we're doing that, that's not healthy for us or the other person. And I'm not talking about the person that wronged you. I mean the person that you're telling it to, because we're giving them an opportunity to go negative against the other person. And so we have to make sure that when we are speaking words that will encourage, words that will build, words that will edify, that will equip, that will encourage ourselves and the other person. Oftentimes we have no filter, and we need a filter. When we're in our emotions, and sometimes we're not even in our emotions, we're just blatantly saying how we feel, saying that we're keeping it real or we're being transparent, but if it's not healthy, then you're not really being transparent. You're being discouraging. You're being rude. You're tearing people down. And so we have to get to a place to where the words that we are speaking, that they are edifying, that they are equipping. And it says according to their need. So it may not be according to your need. It has to be according to their need. And sometimes some people need a little bit more help than others. And we can't compare situations to past situations because everybody's not on the same level. And so I can't speak to you the same way that I may speak to the next person. I have to speak to you according to your need to build you up. And if I'm not speaking according to your need, I'm speaking according to my need, it's not beneficial. And so we have to get to the point to where we are still speaking to build. We are letting people know that, hey, I am here for you. I don't have it right, but I'm trying to get this together. We have to begin to speak to God. Ask him, Lord, give me the words to speak if I need to speak. Sometimes we just don't need to speak at all. Sometimes we're just talking just to talk, and that's when those discouraging words come out and we're just throwing words out there and we're not even paying attention or using wisdom when we're deciding that we need to speak. Sometimes we don't need to speak at all. And when we're speaking, we're displaying a character to other people that's listening. And sometimes because we're just talking, the character that we're displaying to other people, they're questioning our Christianity. Our speech should be beneficial to anybody that hears us, including ourselves. But when we're dealing with unforgiveness and someone has wronged us, we're not really thinking about what we're saying. We're more so thinking about the situation that happened to us. And so we have to get to the place to where we are speaking to build, to where we are guarding our words, where we are asking the Lord to order the words that come out of our mouth, where we are asking the Lord, if you don't know how to speak to build, then we should ask the Lord to give us wisdom. Ask the Lord to order your talk. We have to speak what is helpful for building others up, not tearing them down. Oftentimes, hurting people hurt people. And so sometimes when we're hurt by someone, it's because they're hurt. And what they're missing is that love that can be displayed through us. If we would just take the time and if we would listen, if we would submit to the word of God, and if we would allow the Holy Spirit to lead us in our speech and in our actions, then we'll be able to understand that this person needs love. This person needs help. And when we're imitating God, when we're imitating what we are supposed to do, that will cause that person to draw closer to you. And they're not drawing closer to you. They're drawing closer to the God that's in you. And that will be our chance to be able to witness. And so when we're talking, we have to make sure that what we're saying is lined up with the word of God. And even when we speak outside of the word of God, we have to make sure that we go back and correct it. If they heard you, there's no reason why we can't go back and apologize and say, you know, I didn't mean to say that, or what I meant to say was, or I said that out of anger. But oftentimes we're just talking and we're not really paying attention to what we're saying, and we're not filtering what we're saying, and we're just talking, and people are looking at us like we're half crazy. Because instead of us building people up, we're tearing people down. And regardless of if someone did something to you or not, it is not our duty to tear anybody down. We are to encourage. We are to build. We are to edify. And it says so that it may benefit those who listen. There's people that's listening to us that we don't even know is listening. But we have a choice to make to speak to build. And in that moment where we have to make that choice, we're not thinking about what we should be saying. And even if you feel that the other person deserves it, what does God feel? We have to get to the place to where we are watching what we are saying. We can't just talk just to talk. We can't go around saying, I have no filter, or I'm being transparent or keeping it real. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with being transparent or keeping it real, but what's your motive? Are you trying to tear people down? Some people say, well, the truth is the truth. Yeah, the truth is the truth, but the truth is not always for you to talk about. And so we have to get to the point to where we are guarding our mouths. We have to watch what we are speaking. We have to speak to build other people up. Our speech should be beneficial. Our words should be words of life-changing words. There should be words that will cause people to draw closer to God. But when our words are tearing people down, it's pushing people away. And sometimes the best way to build is not to say anything at all, because we don't know how to say it. Sometimes it's not what we say, it's how we say it. And so if we are pushing people away because they've done something wrong to us and we don't know how to say what we need to say, sometimes we need to step back and wait till it's our time to say it so where we can say it the right way. And when we get to that place to where we can say it the way that we need to say it, and then that will be encouraging to the listener. That may help the listener to understand that, yeah, I did do something wrong. But when we come at people crazy with this unhealthy talk, they're not going to want to listen to us. They're not going to want to apologize. It will probably make the situation worse. But we have to get to the place to where we are speaking to build. We have to make that choice. We're either going to speak life or we're going to speak death. And I'm going to bring it back on around, not even to other people, but to us. Are you going to speak life or are you going to speak death to yourself? What are you speaking to yourself in these situations? Are you telling yourself that God can get you through this? Are you telling yourself that you're strong enough to make it through this? Are you telling yourself that no weapon formed against you shall prosper? What are you telling yourself in this situation? We have to get to the place to where we are speaking to build. Unwholesome talk is not anything that is encouraging to anyone. Nobody wants to be talked to in a wrong manner. And sometimes we're so used to being talked to in a discouraging way that we think that it's normal, and it's not. But when we get in the Word of God and when we see the characteristics of God and we see the things that we're supposed to be doing and the things that we're supposed to be saying and how we're supposed to be treated, then we'll begin to realize that those things are dysfunctional and abnormal. And so we'll begin to speak to build, and we'll begin to speak to ourselves in a way that we can build ourselves up. And then once we're built up, then we'll be able to speak to build others up. But it's not until we realize that we have a choice to make. You have a choice to speak life, and you have a choice to speak death. But when we're in our feelings, sometimes we go to the latter. And so we have to take a moment sometimes and stop and think about what I'm going to say. Am I too mad to say anything right now? Am I still too hurt to say anything right now? Is what I'm going to say the truth? And so we have to get to the place to where we're making a choice to speak to build. But in verses 30 and 31, it says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice." And so we have a choice to speak to build, but we also have a choice to let it go. Can we imagine that we are grieving the Holy Spirit of God when we are doing these things? We are marked, we are sealed, we are set apart, so we shouldn't look like the world. We shouldn't talk like the world. We shouldn't act like the world, nor think like the world, because we are marked, we are set apart. And when we don't let those things go, it grieves the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit doesn't want to dwell with evil. The Holy Spirit did not, Jesus did not pay the price for the Holy Spirit to dwell in us with evil. We have to get to the place to where we are allowing these things, not allowing these things to overcome us, overtake us. We have to get to the place to where we are standing in the power that is within us. We have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, so we have a choice. We have power and authority to remove those things that are trying to trap us and take us down, but it's not until we make the choice to let it go. It's not until we make the choice to stand on the promises of God. It is offensive to the Holy Spirit for us to think that it's okay for us to keep this bitterness and anger and rage in us against his people when we want him to forgive us. Our internal feelings, those that anger, that bitterness, that rage, that ends up coming out. And even though it's internal, it becomes displayed externally. And so it really shows what's in our heart. And so we can say we apologize, and we can say that we're no longer bitter. We can say that we're no longer angry, but our reactions and our actions show something totally different. And especially when that thing that triggers us come around, if that person comes around or that person's name come around or the situation comes up and we flip out, we have not gotten it together. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to search us and to remove those things from within us. Jesus did not pay the price for anger to dwell in us, for bitterness to dwell in us, rage, brawling, slander, or malice. Those things are not leading us in spirit and in truth. If we think that we are being led in the right way by those things, we are wrong. Regardless of what anyone has done to you, we cannot let those inner emotions and feelings take over us and lead us. Because when we allow those to lead us, it's when we begin to tear people down and think that we can say what we want to say just because they've done us wrong, but that's not correct. The Holy Spirit is supposed to lead us and guide us. And the Holy Spirit is not going to make you do it. You have to make the choice to do it. And so you have to make the choice to stop being angry. You have to make the choice to stop being bitter. You have to make a choice to stop brawling and slandering other people. We cannot do that regardless of what they have done. It is not our duty to do that. Vengeance is not ours. It's the Lord. And what we are to do is we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. And we cannot truly do that if we have all of this bitterness and rage within us. And we don't understand how much this is hindering us from moving forward in the things of God. Some of us have been praying for another job. Some of us have been praying for us to move. Some of us have been praying for peace. Some of us have been praying for God's favor. But we cannot have our answers prayer when we are harboring unforgiveness in our hearts. And I don't think that we fully understand that. We have to get to the place to where we are truly living our lives to be like Christ. I'm not saying you're supposed to be perfect. I'm not saying anybody else is supposed to be perfect because we're human. But what I am saying is we are supposed to live our lives daily, becoming more and more like Christ. So daily we have to ask him for his help. And when we mess up, we have to repent and not stand like we're in pride and like we deserve everything that God gives us, because we don't. We have to make sure that we are understanding that just as the other person, we don't think the other person deserves it, we don't deserve it either. But God shows us favor, and so we have to show other people favor. But it's not until we let it go that we are going to fully be able to walk in what God has us to walk in. Some of us have been angry for years. Some of us have been angry for so long that it's normal. And it's not, it's dysfunctional. Some of us, it has been generation after generation after generation holding anger. We are not obligated. We are not allowed to just harbor anger. We have to ask God to help us. We cannot, some of it is so thick and so embedded in us that we don't even know where to begin. That's where we start with God. We have to ask him to help us. We have to get to the place to where we are letting this unforgiveness go completely. And it may be a process. You may have to go through a process, but we cannot hold on to things. We cannot continue to hold on to things that will hinder us. We cannot continue. We can't afford to hold on to something that will hinder us from fully walking with Christ. Christ should have our whole heart. And when he has our whole heart, when we are harboring unforgiveness or anger, bitterness, we should feel convicted. But some of us are overriding that conviction. We feel like we have a duty to be mad. I can be mad if I want to, but we don't. We cannot override that conviction. We have to let these things go. And the reason why we're so focused on us, it's us. We have to start with us. Even though it's the other person that did it, it starts with us. We cannot change anybody. We have to start with us. We have to ask the Holy Spirit to change us. We have to begin to let it go. And I'm not sure of everybody's situation, but what I am sure of is the power of God. Nothing is impossible with God, Luke 1:37. And so whatever your situation is, whatever someone has done to you, whatever you're going through, whatever feeling that you're having, the Lord will be able to bring you out of that. Your story will be somebody else, will be a testimony to somebody else that may be going through the same thing. But we have to get to the place to where we are allowing the Lord to do what he does. If we don't allow him to transform us, if we continue to hold on to it, then how can we be a testimony? We have to get to the place to where we are letting these things go. We cannot let these things rule us any longer. We are marked. We do not want to grieve the Holy Spirit. We are sealed. We are set apart. And so the Lord didn't place his mark on us for us to look like the world. The Lord placed his mark on us so that we can look like him in the world. But when we have this bitterness, rage, and anger, when we have those things and they're being displayed, we're looking like the world, and we're not looking like we're marked or that we're set apart or that we're sealed. And if you could just imagine for a moment, you sending your child to a birthday party, and your child just go buku crazy, you would be embarrassed. You would be hurt. Some parents will whoop the kid right then and there. You will just look. It will just look totally foolish on your part and the kids. So just imagine how God, he sent his only son to the cross to die for us, so that we can be forgiven. So when we walk around and we have these different attitudes of the world, then that grieves God. And we don't want to grieve God. We want to please God. We want to let God know that we are going to use all of his gifts. We're going to use our life I'm going to give you the gift of my life to do whatever you want me to do. But we have to get to the place to where we are letting things go. And verse 32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So we have a choice to make to speak, to build. We have a choice to make to let it go. But we also have to make the choice to be like Christ. We cannot forget where we came from. We cannot forget that we needed to be forgiven. And I think that's the case when we are dealing with people. We forget where we were. And if we keep it real, some of us still need to be forgiven today. But we have a choice. We have to make the choice. We have a duty to be like Christ. When we say that I'm your follower and I want to do whatever you want me to do, I'm going to submit to your will, then we have to, number one, remember where you came from so that you can have that compassion on other people. But when we forget where we come from, we cannot have compassion. We need to be kind. We need to understand. We need to sit down and listen. Just like Christ listens to us, we need to be more like him. With all of the things that we have done, all of the things that we have been through, Christ forgave us for all of that mess. And so when we remember where we come from, then we're able to be compassionate. And we're able to show that same forgiveness that God showed us. But when we forget where we come from, we'll think that we have a right not to forgive people. Psalms 35 said, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. And so there's nothing wrong with us being angry. But when we sin and when we think that when we continue in anger and we continue in bitter, because we have emotions, we're human. But we have to control those emotions and ask the Lord to take us through those feelings and ask the Lord to lead us and guide us in all truth when we are in those feelings. But at the same time, we cannot be controlled by those feelings. We have to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And so when we ask him, Lord, I need you to be in my life. I need you to take control of my heart. I need you. I can no longer do this. We need to be more like him, more and more like him every day. Even though we are in this world, we are not to be of the world. We are to be an example to the world of who he is. And so we have to get to the place to where we are becoming more and more like Christ. And so we have a choice to make. We have to speak to build. We have to let it go. And we have to be more and more like Christ. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for another day, God. We thank you for your word, God, that continues to show us, Lord, the characteristics that we should have. Lord, I ask right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you give us the words to speak to ourselves and to others, God. I pray, God, that as you are continuing to show us any unforgiveness that we may have in our heart, God, I pray, God, that we seek your wisdom, Lord, to ask you to take us through the process, Lord, of healing, Lord, that we may have peace, Lord, that relationships may be mended, God, that we may draw closer to you and each other, oh God. I pray that we are able to be more and more like you each and every day, oh God. I pray, God, that you will strengthen us in all that we do, God. Father, we need you and we love you, God. We thank you and we praise you. In Christ's name.
Thank you for tuning in to Embrace Today. You can further connect with Whole House Ministries by viewing our website at www.wholehouseministries.org, liking Whole House Ministries on Facebook, and following @ApreCurry on Twitter. Be blessed and embrace your today.